Hi, y'all. You're listening to Ordinary People, Ordinary Things with me, your host, Melissa Radke, the ordinariest of us all. Hi, you're listening to episode 6 of our podcast, Ordinary People, Ordinary Things. I'm Melissa Radke, and today I've got no notes in front of me. I'm winging it. That's right, people. Send the kids out of the room because you never know what's going to come out of my mouth. Not even I know. But I do want you to stick around for what is a heartfelt, true story about me in today's episode. I'm so glad you're here. Sadly, it wasn't just the getting pregnant that was the problem. It was the staying pregnant. You see, you know how to take the reservation. You just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding. Anybody can just take them. I'd say that Seinfeld quote perfectly sums up my barrenness. As difficult as the getting pregnant was, I also couldn't stay pregnant. And really, that's the most important part of the getting pregnant, you know, the staying that way. During my 12 exciting years of, sorry, ma'am, we've got nothing for that, David and I were the Sunday school teachers of the largest class in our church, the one for young married couples. Pop quiz. Do you know what young married couples do a lot? You got it. Have sex. And do you know what happens to young married couples a lot? Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. You answered get pregnant, and you are correct. Last question, and this one is a bonus question. Get it right, and that vacation to Toledo is yours. Who is relegated to throwing baby showers for all the pregnant women in the class? If you answered the Sunday school teacher, then you just won an all-expense-paid trip to Toledo, Ohio for you and one person you probably don't like very much. So many baby showers. I went to so many baby showers. Made so many of those little cucumber and cream cheese sandwiches, ate so many melted candy bars out of a diaper, wrote down Diaper Genie in so many baby books. Oftentimes, they didn't know that I was sweating because my second round of Clomid gave me intense sweats or made me drink punch like I was an alcoholic on a binge. They didn't know that I had been inseminated the day before like a piece of cattle, or that I had to leave early because it was time to have sex. At first, I hid these things. But the truth is, once you've been pregnant twice and lost the pregnancy twice, people are pretty much on to you. At three times, people are worried about you. At four times, they just begin to pity you. And at five times, they have lost all interest and are back to asking you to cut the crust off of the cucumber sandwiches. I was no doubt a pleasure to be around during those years. I'm overly dramatic on a Tuesday, but you place three rounds of Clomid and a heartbreaking amount of loss in me, and you have a gem, I'm sure. I couldn't help any of this. I tried. I tried to laugh and smile and make everyone feel at ease, but I was tired of pretending to not hurt. Pain was getting the best of me. It was creeping into relationships and friendships. It was butting into my job, my home, my marriage. And you add to it that every night I went to sleep, I dreamed things like my husband falling in love with different friends of mine, friends who could give him what I couldn't, friends who were prettier than me and were more fit than me, friends who looked better up next to him, holding their children, holding his hand. I dreaded nighttime, and so my sleep suffered. During the day, I was the walking dead, the walking wounded. Loss will do that to you. It will make you into this thing you had no intention of ever becoming. It will harden you, yet make you soft. It will deaden you, yet make you shockingly on edge. It tears down what you were. and replaces it with something strange and foreign. I don't care if the loss is your marriage or your job, your parent or your dreams, whether loss comes in the form of your joy or your five babies, all named, all wished for, all prayed for, all gone. It leaves in its wake a shell of the person you once were. You can rebuild from loss, like a fire after the last log is burnt to ash. You can rebuild, but you won't look the same or walk the same. The fire might be better, brighter even, but it will be different nonetheless. This loss, this inability to reproduce the way we as women are supposed to reproduce, did a number on me. 6 months after miscarriage number four, we found out we were pregnant. Again, to say we were excited is an overstatement because we were not. We were not excited or expectant. We were not overjoyed or hysterical. We counted the days on the calendar to week nine. Week nine. Oh, the infamous week nine where we would go for an ultrasound and they would inform us that there was no heartbeat. I don't mean to be callous, but callous is about all I can give you. That was what that moment had made us. We would go into the ultrasound room, hear the click, 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 click the ultrasound tech would make on the computer. And then the words that we had heard not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. Okay, I'm going to go get the doctor and just let him talk to you guys. You don't have to go get him. You know what? We know the drill. This is where I get my purse, cry all the way home, refuse to let David touch me for about 3 months. And then we're back to our little human science experiment. Don't bother the doctor. Hey, he's got a lot going on. Every day I was pregnant was just simply another day inching closer to that doomsday doctor's appointment. But this time around, the ultrasound came back different. We heard a heartbeat. We had never heard a heartbeat before, not once. And it was strong. Then news that we'd passed the 3 month mark. Then news that the baby was growing right on pace. Then news that it was a boy. Then news of a baby shower. Then news that something was wrong. Then news that, okay, I'm going to go get the doctor and let him talk to you guys. I was sick of news and I was sick of ultrasounds and I was sick of walking around without a stroller and without of hope. And I was sick of everyone winning at the game I was too inept to play. I was sick that a childhood friend of mine actually called me and offered to have a baby for me. I was sick of loss and losing, and I was just so sick. And I said, no, I'll keep the pregnancy and I will have the baby. And if it means I'm in danger, well, it's no more danger than my emotional state is currently in. Both of us could combust at any moment, but I will not abort and I will not listen to you or you or you or you. I've come this far and I'm going to finish this and I'm going to have this baby. And I did. I had him on December 25th, 2005. I had him at 6:36 a.m. He was beautiful. We held him in our arms while he kicked and screamed and slept and cooed. We held him until the heavens came for him. We did not fight what was happening. We did not shake our fist or clench our teeth. It was still the sweetest and holiest Christmas morning either one of us had ever had. I've been reading to you an excerpt from my upcoming book. I do that today because today is episode 6 of our podcast, and I've entitled it, This Sucks, But God Is Good. Quite the opener, huh? I know, it was a little heavy. But it was the best way I can kind of describe where I've been. The story of what I came out of. Infertility was the scarlet letter that I wore around for a really long time. And then to have a son and to hold a son, only to bury a son. Let's just say that it does some things in your heart that you weren't prepared for. It changes you, and it made me mad, and it made me sad. And I remember a day, not long after, that we were getting up on a Sunday morning. We were going to get out of bed to get dressed for church. And I looked at David. I was going to go hop in the shower first. And I hopped out of bed, and then I turned around, and I looked at David. And with all of the truth in the world. I wasn't being dramatic. I wasn't teasing. I meant every word of it. I looked at David and I said, let's just don't serve him anymore. Let's just don't. Let's just stop. Let's don't go this morning and let's don't go next week and let's don't go back ever again. Let's just be done. You want to? Do you want to just be done with him? And David actually looked at me. He actually studied my face for a second to see if I was teasing, and he could tell that I was not. And then he said probably the sentence that saved my life. We can't. He's all we've ever known. And it was true. I had seen him be faithful so much throughout my life. I knew him to be good. I knew him to be kind. I knew him to be faithful. I knew him to be worth serving, even when it sucked. And even when it straight up blew chunks, I knew him to be all of these things, but I was not seeing them in my life. And I was sick of dealing with grief. I say all that today because this wasn't supposed to be the podcast episode. Literally, you're supposed to be listening to the story of my best friend and how she's getting ready for a spring wedding. You're supposed to be listening to how she's preparing her daughter and how it is raising adult children. You're supposed to be listening to something that I had entitled Momster-in-Law and that you'll probably hear later, but there was a glitch. There was literally a glitch in the recording. And I could have called about 7 or 8 other people who would have just zoomed right over, and we could have laid down a great podcast and gone on as if there was nothing wrong. But I can't get the story that has made me kind of like Miranda Lambert with The House That Built Me. Well, this is the story that made me. Maybe I should have done it episode 1. But talk about heavy. Y'all would have never come back. So I'll do it today. I guess you can best relate it to a Purple Heart. I say that my children, the ones I have now, that they're my Purple Heart. They're the reward that I got after the war was over, after the battle was done. But they are my stripes. They are the story that I really want most to tell the world, and so I'll tell it to you today. I make a lot of silly videos, and I say a lot of dumb things. Interesting things are happening in my career. A book is coming out, and we talk about different kind of filming things or TV things, and all of it sounds really great and exciting. But the truth of the matter is, there is a story that makes me who I am. And it's this one. So, about a year ago, I began to write it down, but not in a typical fashion that would be typical to me. I'm a journaler. I'm a writer. I could have laid it all out in different chapters, I suppose, but instead I wrote it almost in a study form. And I thought to myself, if anybody would ever like to take this, why in the world would anybody ever want to take this? But I did it anyway, and I wrote it all down. And today, somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 women have taken this 6-week course called This Sucks, But God Is Good. I know that's an interesting title. And trust me, I had to apologize to my mom. She was very upset, like wouldn't talk to me for like a week because I use the word sucks and it's not appropriate. We're from the South. But I called it that because the interesting thing is it came from an article that I wrote for a local magazine back some years ago. And it was on the issue of infertility. And I said, wouldn't it be awesome if like everyone who is experiencing infertility just wore a shirt around that said, this sucks, ... but God is good, which is a true statement. And then whenever you saw somebody wearing that shirt, you would be like, uh-huh, soldier, peace out. That's a soldier, a sister soldier right there. Oh, yes. And you would go up and hug them and y'all would cry together. And then you would like eat queso. And it would be wonderful because you would be able to spot each other. Because the truth of the matter is, see, hurting people are walking around everywhere. Broken people are everywhere. They are the walking dead and we don't even know it. We don't even know it because we are so concentrated on our own pain and our own brokenness that this is going on around us all the time and we don't spot them. So perhaps we should just wear like matching t-shirts or something. buttons that flash green, which means you can come up and talk to me, or red, like today, leave me alone. So anyway, I named it what I talked about in the article. This sucks, but God is good. And I began to really, in a nutshell, write down the things that I learned through the process of being angry with him, hating him, listening to him, watching him, loving him, needing him. Put it out. Wanted to see if there were any takers, and there were. The first time that we launched this course, I can remember thinking, oh, sweet God in heaven, what am I doing? Beth Moore, I ain't. Lisa Harper, not on your best day. Havila, Lisa Bevere, all of these women, like, honest to goodness, I cannot possibly imagine what they would think if they ever heard the teachings of this course. Not because what I'm teaching isn't solid, not because what I'm teaching isn't true, but because what I'm teaching is mixed in with an absurd amount of boys to men lyrics and pop culture facts. Friends references, I think I mentioned Seinfeld many times. It's not your typical Bible study. Oh, and by the way, we do use the Bible, but I pretty much misquote it a lot. I told you I was a Beth Moore. I'm just Melissa Radke. I'm just this woman like you that just wanted a child. I'm this woman like you who literally watched her marriage become such a science experiment that it busted. I'm a woman who sat in a living room with her husband and we divided our stuff. You can have this and you can have this, and I want this holiday with the kids and you can have this holiday with the kids. And then I'm the same woman who was able to call the divorce attorney back and cancel him. I'm a woman who got it severely, severely wrong, but continued to serve a God who always gets it severely, severely right. This course may go down as the craziest thing I've ever done, but it will go down as the thing I'm the most proud of, other than raising those kids. Although, we should probably wait to see how they turn out. Okay, you know what? Check back with me in a couple. So we wrote "This Sucks, But God Is Good," and we put it out. Click here if you're interested. Sign up if you'd like to take the course. These women started coming out of the woodworks. And I guess what I wanted to tell you today is not so much about the course. I mean, I've pretty much told you that there's a lot of Britney Spears lyrics, okay? And I did quote Boys to Men several different times. Also, we talk about some Bible stories, and we talk about the fact that I got severely pissed off at the continual no that I was getting from God, when little did I know he just had so much better, so, so very much better. We talk a lot about how we can clench our fists and hold tightly to the things that we think we must have, the things we think will make us all better, the things that will fix us. And he says, release, unclench, unfold, lay your hands out, give that all to me. Give that all to me, Melissa. I call it heart work. I don't give you homework every week. I give you heart work, which means you've got to search your heart for probably some things that you don't want to talk about for a while, some things that you've not brought up, some things that haven't surfaced, and it's hard. But you and I both know we can do hard things, and we can do heart things, and we do that all together. But as I was saying, we threw some feelers out there, and these women one by one started taking this course. And as I'm watching these women go through it, they would email me or direct message me or Facebook message me. And I would talk to women whose husband had left them and their children only months before he had walked out the door. We have women whose husbands left them for their best friend. We have had women whose husbands left them for their sister. We have women whose husbands left them for a man he worked with. We have a woman who ran over her child, and one who brought a man into the home who harmed her children in ways that to this day she could barely speak of. We have women who have attempted suicide. We have women who have been hurt by people that I can almost understand why they would never, ever want to forgive them. But they have to. And they know this. And they do. We also have women who have done the hurting. They've been the betrayer. They've been the leaver. They've been the backstabber and the villain in all of the stories. And they know this. And even though they may have been forgiven by those people, they cannot forgive themselves. But they know they have to. And they do. You see, everyone has a story, not just me. You're listening to this right now, and you know for a fact you have one. Hey, if you don't have a story, kudos to you. Does it make you any less deep in your walk with Christ? Nor does it mean that, beware, it's coming. No, it doesn't mean that. You'll find your story. And it may not deal with your house burning down or your marriage. It may be different. You'll find yours. But more times than not, everybody has a story. Maybe you're listening right now and you know someone that does. I was raised in a pretty happy home. I had a pretty great childhood. Not a lot I would redo there. But getting married and dealing with depression and then infertility makes you feel like so much less of a person, so much less of a woman. And when I say it became my scarlet letter, I mean it because it was just the story that I wore around all the time, like everyone knew. David and Melissa, they had been married for 14 years and still had no children. David and Melissa are pregnant, then David and Melissa aren't pregnant. It was the story I carried around with me everywhere. So when I call this course, "This Sucks," let's just deal with the "this sucks" for a minute. That sucked. It sucked for me. It blew chunks for me. I hated it. I despised every single second of it. And you have something very similar, don't you? A marriage that went south. A layoff that came out of nowhere. A broken relationship. A death in your family that you can't get over and you haven't healed from. You lost a best friend. Your mother-in-law hates you. You've been out of work for so long and you are hacked about it. Where are you? What's got you right now? What's the part of the story you're wearing around like the scarlet letter? What is just ticking you off, man? Maybe you don't even know anymore what it is. Maybe the truth of the matter is you've been limping for so long, you don't even know why. And you would say to me, "Melissa, I can honestly tell you there's something wrong. There's something underneath the surface, but I don't know what it is. I want to help you find that. I want to help you suss that out, man. I want to help you wrestle with that. I want to help you get to the core of it. I believe that you should turn and run. If you ever go in with an infection and you have a doctor say, it'll take care of itself. No, it won't. How dare they say that? Get out every bit of it. Clean it out. Get rid of what is hurting you. Get rid of what is poisoning you. Get rid of what is making you toxic. There's only one person that I know that can do that. He did it for me. And he wants to do it for you. The problem is that sometimes in our hurt, we're angry at him. And do you really want to go back to the doctor that can get out the poison when you think he might have poisoned you himself? No. But that's where we turn a corner, see? That's the dot, dot, dot right in the middle of the title. He didn't hurt you. He's never hurt you. You, my friend, live in a broken and a fallen world. That's why that happened. That's why they left. That's why they laughed. That's why they didn't invite you. God didn't do that. And it's time that you stop running and you stop blaming. And so we deal with that. Let's just call a spade a spade. If you're mad, tell him. And then lastly, but God is good, and he is. Today I have two children in my home. My home isn't quiet anymore. In fact, there are nights when I'm like, just go to bed. It's too loud in here. And I remember 14 years of such silence. They're beautiful and they're healthy, and they're both adopted. God never looked away from me. God never forgot about me. And I am telling you right now, I am willing to bet my life on it. He's never taken his eye off of you either. Yeah, what you're going through sucks. But dot, 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 God is good. Look, if you or someone you know, if your mother, if your sister, if your best girlfriend is walking with a limp, then why don't you share this podcast with them? So yeah, this week's episode was supposed to be called Momster-in-Law. I mean, don't get scared. I've not gone soft on you guys. I'm not going to be serious every single week. In fact, you might want to email me when I just begin to get too completely off the reservation, which is my tendency to do so. And I'm allowed. If you don't like it, get your own podcast. Just kidding. But yeah, this week it was just maybe what's on my heart right now. And the truth of the matter is, I'm an ordinary person. I got ordinary things to say. And if I kind of feel a burning to say them, then I want to. So thanks for allowing me to do that. I will tell you that this is a 6 weeks course. The really cool thing about it is that you don't have to put a bra on and take off your jogging pants for all of those who come home from work and are like, you know, in a comatose state by like 5:32 in the evening. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to do that, girl. You can do it right there in the drop-off line at school. Actually, don't do that. That would be completely unsafe. The drop-off line is supposed to keep moving. But you can do it when you go pick up your kids from school and you're waiting in line. When your daughter goes in for like piano lessons and you're sitting in your car for 30 minutes. Do it then. Do it at your desk during lunch and do it at your desk during work. What do I care? Do it in the evenings. Do it early in the mornings. You can do it right there from your phone. You can watch the video on your phone or on your laptop. It comes to you every single week and you can do it at your own pace. So you're going to Disney World 1 week, put it off. Put Disney World off. No, I'm just kidding. Don't put Disney World off. Never do that. But this is a course that can be taken at your own pace. If you get 2 weeks behind, you get 2 weeks behind. It's okay. You're on no one's schedule but your own. And all the people that always take the course ask this question, these videos are so great. Do I have to give them back? Well, do you have to take a book back to Barnes & Noble after you've bought it? No, it's yours, girlfriend. Keep it. It's yours. And you can watch it whenever you want, as many times as you want. But it is me teaching, so you'll probably want to only watch it, I don't know, 8-9 times. At the most. I'm just bringing to you what was taught to me. I told you I'm no Beth Moore. I know that I'm no Lisa Bevere. I know that I could never, ever teach, like, you know, listen to me right now. I can't even think of another teacher. I'm not as good as my pastor. I'm not as good as your pastor, but I look a lot like you, and I hurt a lot like you. My whole life, I dreamed of the same things you dreamed about, I bet. Perfect marriage, perfect children. P.S. All of those things are dreams, and they are not realities. I thought that I would be a big, huge superstar by the time I was like 22. That also did not happen. And just like you, my dreams weren't met. My expectations weren't achieved. And I got angry. And I got hurt. And I ran for a little while. And when I stopped running, there he was. To do all the healing. To do all the helping. And to stop the pain. And so for those of you who are listening today, you know, it's funny, I'm sitting here and I'm saying these words into this mic here in the studio, but I have 17,000 people that follow me on Instagram. I have 300,000 people that follow me on Facebook. And sometimes you begin to see the same faces a lot. And I don't know you guys personally, but I know what your face looks like. I know what your little profile pic looks like. And there's one particular woman. She really could be all of us. I don't know her. I don't know her story. But I go. I check y'all's pages sometimes. I like to see who you are. I like to see how your visit to Disneyland went. I like to know that your son was graduating and with honors from his class. I look around. I try to get to know those who care enough to get to know me. This woman is so beautiful. But she's hurting so much. She's just so broken right now. And I can tell from what she's saying and listening to her that she was whole at one time. Maybe it's you. You know, you can be whole again. You can be put back together. I know it's hard to believe, my friend, but you can be better than you were before. You may talk differently, walk differently. Your taste may change, but you can be better. And you can be whole. If you would like more information on This Sucks, this really sucks, my dramatics included, but God is good, then click on the link in today's show notes. It'll take you right where you need to go. And then listen, when you're there, you're going to see a button for a promo code, like a little place to type in a promo code. I want you to type in the word limping. As in, hey, what happened to you? You're limping. I walked with a limp for a long time. It's okay. It'll get fixed. So for more information, go to today's show notes, click on This Sucks But God Is Good, and put in the promo code limping to receive 20% off of this course. And then immediately, do not wait. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Tell me. Tell me that you clicked it. Tell me that you went to the link. Tell me that you're going to do this course. I put your name down on a piece of paper, and everyone who has ever taken this course, I say your name. Just so you know, I say your name to God. I say it out loud. Maybe your mother has said your name. Oh, honey, she brought your name before God your whole life. Well, add me to the mix. Or maybe no one has ever said your name before God. Well, baby, you got me. And I say your name. I say Shelley, Tara. I say Anna. I say Janie. I say Jackie and Ashley. Morgan and Whitney, I say your names before God. He knows who you are. You are not lost on Him. So I can't wait to meet you right back here in a year from now, 6 months from now, and see how you've changed. See how you've been healed, how you've been whole, how you're new again. You don't walk with a limp. In fact, you're running. Probably anybody that would look at me would just think, I'm an ordinary person, but I'm a miracle. And what do we say about this show? Miracles are all around us. We just call them ordinary things. I love you all. Till next time.